Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us come together and pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for another blessed day in Christ Jesus, that you have blessed us to assemble together once again to go into the Word of God. Father, we ask this day, Lord God, that you would bless us with the presence of your Spirit and release to us the understanding we stand in need of this day. We dare not take this journey without you, Lord, so therefore our request is made unto you in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we want to thank you, Lord, for revelation and understanding of your Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you that's listening. And I want to say before we get ready to go into the lesson tonight, for those of you who are first-time listeners, amen. And I got a caller here. I want you to click on right quick. God bless you, caller. Who am I speaking with? God bless. Hello. God bless you, caller. Amen. So, well, we look like we're having some possible technical difficulties. Amen. Glory be to God. So, amen. So, we are, I want to say before I start that for those of you who are first-time listeners, I want to encourage you to go back to listen to part one of this series here. And in part one, I let you know that during this series, I'm going to mention two books other than the Bible that is also the Word of God. It's called The Record of Nephi and the Word of the Lord. And in part one, I do tell you where to go to listen to on Blog Talk Radio to hear more on these books. I wanted to give you the heads up for those of you that are first-time listeners, just in case when you hear me mention these couple of books here that goes with the Bible, you know, you won't be caught off guard and say, hey, what are you talking about? Amen. But these other two books are books that are the Word of God also that goes with the Bible. So I wanted to make that clear before we go any further. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, I want to open up once again, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. And we're going to open up with the scripture here on our lesson tonight, which is part of a series. Matthew, chapter 24, verses 37 and verse 38. Matthew, chapter 24, verses 37 and verse 38. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and verse 38. And the Word of God says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Amen. Now, let's turn to another site. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. And keeping that in mind, this is our two scriptures that we are opening up with, Luke chapter 17, in this series that we are on here today. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 and verse 27. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 and verse 27. Glory be to God. And the word of God says, "And as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Now, and the title of this series is The End Time Like Noah's Time, and this is part five today. The End Times Like Noah's Time, this is part five. Now, we have been looking at the first four parts to come to understand that why the Lord Jesus let us know that this time we're living in is like Noah's time. And we come to understand that, or one of the reasons why he said it, because he's letting us know that we're getting a glimpse of what's going on today, what's actually happening also in Noah's time. Amen? And glory be to God. And so, therefore, we come to understand that much of this stuff, or this, the Bible actually speaks of it. When you go to Genesis 6, it actually tells us that the earth was filled with violence, okay? And we see that today. The earth is filled with violence. Now, we have been looking at this in this series here, and we have been going over some things to come to understand. When Jesus mentions that before the flood, they were eating and drinking, married, and giving in marriage. Now, some people that will read that will say, hey, they weren't doing nothing wrong. They was eating and drinking. Hey, anybody can eat and drink innocently. And they was married and given in marriage. And some may say, hey, that's what God wants. You know, wants you to get married, not to be just out there around, just fooling around with anybody. But what we come to understand is that when Jesus made this remark and talking about eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, he was talking about that which was unholy. Okay? Amen. Because he linked it to the flood. That the flood, which would represent the judgment in that day, came and took them away. So the eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, we come to first understand that it was telling us that these people was going on with their lives. In other words, they was oblivious to the judgment of God. They didn't care about the warning of God. They didn't care concerning God, period. In fact, when you read about Noah in the time, the Bible tells us that Noah's walked with God, okay? So we look at that happening today. You got people, they're just going on, living their own life, doing their own thing, especially if that life is contrary to the life that Jesus wants them to live. Amen? And we're seeing that happening today. So the last thing we have been looking at in part four, we begin to understand and looked at why we looked at the and we have been talking about the marrying and giving in marriage, to that degree, representing unholy union, okay? Because he linked it to the evil, okay? And what we did in part four, we was looking at some scriptures that would show us, for us to understand concerning this marrying and giving in marriage being unholy, we needed to look at what union in marriage that God calls holy, or that is acceptable to God. And so we have went into some scriptures to start looking this up, and this is where we're going to continue on today and partially go into another part if time permits. Now, having said that, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, hey, turn along with us. Now, some of you may say, hey, I don't have my Bible with me. Well, hey, you can listen along and take what you hear back to the Lord. Amen? Take what you hear back to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 31. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. And the word of God says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." We are seeing the holy union of the Lord. The union, what we would call marriage, that is acceptable with God. He said that a man, not men, should leave a wife, or a man should leave, a man should cleave unto his wife, not wives, or men cleave unto their wife. And we're going to go back and mention these scriptures again as the series go on, because, and I will show you why. But the Lord showed us that this is his acceptable way of marriage. This is what the Lord has set up. Man did not originally set up marriage. Jesus set up marriage. In fact, Genesis chapter 2 shows us that. So it was not man's idea to form something that was called marriage. It was the Lord's idea, amen, to form marriage. So we're seeing what the Lord has accepted to be what he's called a holy and good marriage. A holy and good marriage has to be after the way that God has set it up. Anything that's holy, it has to be after the Lord's way. And when you walk and operate in it, then you can walk in holy. When you get apart from that, then you get on the ground of being unholy. Amen? And so we're talking about that today. Amen? And we're going a little further here. I want to bring one of the books that I mentioned to you earlier and go to a scripture there. It is called The Record of Nephi. And I want to go to a place, glory to God, in the scripture here, in the book of Jacob. This is the record of Nephi, and there's a servant of the Lord named Jacob, and we want to read something that out of a scripture that the Lord had given to him to record. And as I told you before, the record of Nephi talks about the instructions and God's dealing with man over here on this continent during prehistoric times. Overall, they were divided into two people, one called Nephites, one called Lamanites. And the Nephites supposed to be, in quote, the people of God, and the Lamanites were not. Amen. And so I want to read to you what was going on during that time that Jacob recorded here. Amen. And Jacob was talking to the Nephites, who were supposed to be the people of God. And this is what he said. He said, "Behold, the Lamanites, your brethren, okay, whom ye hate because of their filthiness and the cursings which have come upon their skins." Okay. They was hit with a particular curse. Amen. Because they was in sin. Okay. Glory be to God. He says, "Behold, the Lamanites, your brethren, whom ye hate because of their filthiness and the cursings which have come upon their skins, are more righteous than you, for they have not forgotten the commandment of the Lord, which was given unto our fathers, that they should have save it were one wife, and concubines they should have none, and there shall not be whoredoms committed among them." Amen. Glory be to God. So even the Lamanites, who I mentioned to you, supposed to have been those who were not of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even they kept the commandment of the Lord in that area of having one wife. That's equivalent to some today who claim to be of God and even claim to be Christians who still believe in a plurality of wives. And that those of the world, there are some of the world who goes after the standard of having just one spouse. Amazing, isn't it? Because if anybody should be following that precept or that command of having one wife and not a bunch of concubines, or in other words, side women and mistresses, should be believers. But you have some today who supposed to be believers and supposed to be, quote, as they say, believers of God, which make me question what God is talking about they believing, who believe in having a plurality of wives. In fact, I seen a man on YouTube, I think not too long ago, the way he talk, he believes that, having a plurality of wives and claim to be of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But you have some quote, sinners out there who will abide by having one spouse. It's amazing, isn't it? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to the book that is called the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has sent through the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, a modern-day word in this time. And I know that some people believe, some people think that Jesus cannot speak a modern-day word today. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, many of us is always talking about, you know, the word he spoke, oh, that was in biblical days. I said, well, what days are we living in now? And you have people, some that think that the Lord cannot speak today. And it's amazing. They think that, oh, he did all the speaking. He going to speak back then what we read in the Bible. No, not necessarily so. Our God is still alive and well. Amen. Now, one of the messages that the Lord sent out called Message 96, that the Lord sent out January the 8th, 1977. Glory be to God. And he sent this message by his angel messenger to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves that I had mentioned before one time on one of the broadcasts. I did have the pleasure to meet. Very humble man. I mean, and I'm not just saying because we were being in the same church, but I got to honestly say he probably was one of, if not the most humblest man I ever met. Now, I ain't saying that he ain't never had no faults, but I'm giving you my impression of when I met him, okay? Very, very humble man. And so in one of these verses here, in the message 96 that the Lord sent by the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, I want you to hear what he said. He said, the Lord has given help when needed. He has prepared the hearts of men and those to desire to work in this cause. He has given faithful companions, okay, and those to support this cause. Likewise, he has given you a faithful companion, singular, okay, that will be your help and strength and aid you in your work. Keep the vigilance. Give this message to the brethren. Now, the thing I want you to look at in that verse here, as you heard me read it, is that the Lord told Brother Dre's, he said, I have given you a faithful companion. It's another thing for a wife or help me. He didn't say I gave you faithful companions. Okay? Amen. See, people, we got to understand something. From Genesis to now, God has not changed his pattern or setup concerning marriage. People that act like he does, okay? Or he have, I put it that way. But he hasn't. God has not changed his pattern, okay? He said, for I am God, I change not. So he has not changed his pattern concerning, hallelujah, how he set up marriage. See, some people throw up, and we might, if the Lord said to say, we might talk about this a little bit more. Some people, you know, with some, those who want to okay having, let's say, multiple wives, they always want to allude to two people in the Old Testament, David and Solomon, okay? David and Solomon. And one of the things they said, well, you know, David and Solomon have many wives. And then they look at a scripture, and I think it's in Kings, if I'm not mistaken, where it said in the scripture, the Lord said, I have given you wives, okay? But they fail to understand that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. And so when it was translated over to our language, they put the word, especially if you have a King James Bible, they put the word that they felt would bring clarification to what was originally said. But sometimes even King James in his translation gave certain words that would actually throw you off. Because much of the Hebrew verb tense is more in the permissive. And a lot of our verb tense is in the causative. So originally God permitted David and Solomon to have them many wives. But that was not his will. Okay? Like Brother Kenneth Hagin said one time, God will permit you to go rob a gas station, but that don't mean he commissioned it. Amen. God didn't commission David and Solomon to have a bunch of wives and concubines. You won't find that in Scripture. And what many fail to understand, okay, go back to Genesis. Look what God, if God wanted, let's say, a man to have multiple wives, then when he made Adam, he would have pulled out Eve and Susie and Mary and Julie. He would have pulled them all out. But he didn't, okay? Then when you look into the New Testament, he using Apostle Paul and others to let you know of this singular thing again. So when you're telling me that there's nothing wrong with having plural wives, because it said in the Bible, David and Solomon, why would God start off with a singular, jump in the middle with David and Solomon, let them have multiples, and then go back to the New Testament? That see, God said, I am God, I change not. You don't realize how you're showing God to be an unstable God. He jumping back and forth. Come on. Not so, people. Not so. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, having said that, we're going to go into something else on this series in connection with this. And we're going to look at, since we saw some scriptures here on what God has set up to be more of a holy marriage and a holy joining, we must look at now what would be unholy, okay? And this is what I want to say before I go into this, because this may take some considerable time, and it may not. Like I told y'all at the beginning of this series, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. But this is what I say to this. When I go into this part I'm about to go to, about some unholy unions, unholy marriages, unholy joinings, okay? There are going to be some marriages I am going to call out. I'm going to call it out as unholy. Now, I know that some of you perhaps that are listening won't like it. I'm here to tell you I love you in the Lord, but I have to call sin what God calls sin. I have to call unholy what God calls unholy. Whatever God calls an abomination, I have to call it if I want to follow him. I can't for the sake of people. When God calls something abomination, I can't go around and say it's okay. I can by words of my mouth, but not be fully right in my standing. Can't do that. And we see in this nation, much less the world, but in this nation, this is what's happening. You have people that know that these particular marriages and unions is not of God, but they're calling it okay because people are saying it's okay. Or they call it okay because they're scared of man. Okay? But I have to call it what God calls. And so when God calls something unholy, if I want to be in right standing with God, guess what I got to call it? Unholy. Amen? If God is calling something abomination, guess what that means? I got to call it an abomination. If he calls it a sin, I have to call it a sin. Amen? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen? Now, having said that, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Amen? Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to go into the Bible here, but I want to read to you also a research, something that I search up. Glory be to God. I want to read that unto you. Hallelujah. And as I told you before, I'm going to call it out because I have to call sin what God calls sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, as I told you, I was going to call out these unholy marriages. I'm going to call it out, call it for what it is. I'm going to give you scripture to show you why it's not holy instead of God. like you just seen in the beginning of this part five, and even later in part four, that we begin to look at what God has set up to be a holy and ordained and set up a marriage is set up by God. Now we're going to look at some unholy setups, some things I'm going to bring to your attention. Amen. Now, when I bring these things to your attention and call it out and perhaps even describe some, the first thing I want you to understand is that I'm not trying to be vulgar, okay? I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm not trying to be disgusting because of what I'm going to read to you and some things I'm describing. But you do need to understand what makes these unions or marriages unholy, okay? Now, I'm not saying I'm just going to run all over the course and run out of the way. I'm not saying that. But this is what I'm saying. You got to understand why the Lord said, let us know this time is like Noah's time. And to give you a hint of what was happening in Noah's time, you know, it's happening today. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, if I had, you know, in a place with many of y'all, and I ask y'all this question, how many of y'all have heard of spirit spouses? Spirit spouses, okay? Well, let me read to you concerning a spirit spouse. The spirit spouse is a widespread element of shamanism distributed through all continents and all cultural levels. Often these spirit husband or wives, either one of them, are seen as a primary helping spirits of the shaman, who assist them in their work and help them gain power in the world of spirit. The relationship shamans have with their spirit spouses may be expressed in romantic, get this, sexual, or purely symbolic ways, and may include gender transformation as a part of correctly pairing with their spouse. Shamans report engaging with their spirit spouses through dreams, trance, and other ritual elements. In some cultures, gaining a spirit spouse is a necessary and expected part of initiation into becoming a shaman. Examples of spirit spouses may be seen in non-shamanic cultures as well, including dreams about Jesus Christ by nuns, who are considered to be brides of Christ. Now, simply put, a spirit spouse, now notice that what I read to you, dealing with, a group of people called shaman, which shaman or shamanism is a religious practice that involves a practitioner who is believed to interact with the spirit world, with the spirit world, with the spirit world. Do you hear that? And so being interactive with this spirit world, they're going with these spirits that can be as considered their husband or their wife, a spirit now. Now, you say, well, why are you going to that? Because those spirits are nothing but demons. Amen. I just took a break right there. Hallelujah. To let it sink in. Now, some of y'all, we hear this and say, now, this just outrageous. You going out. No, ain't nobody having no sex with demons. Ain't no demons having sex with. Yes, they are. And they're being called either that person's spiritual husband or spirit wife. They are nothing but demons practicing these religions. This is an unholy joining, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, you say amen or oh me or anyhow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some of y'all remember the this lady was well known. Her name was Anna Nicole Smith. I think she well known. She married or went with this millionaire, and she ended up, you know, you see she had a lot of mental problems. She ended up dying. I think she overdosed or whatever. Well, she even supposed to have testified, and I think you can look this up in a research called. I think it's called everything you need to know about ghost sex, the cut. And if I'm not mistaken in that, if you look it up, you'll find out that she had testified that she had sex with demons. Well, you know what people automatically think. She's crazy. But see, many of y'all don't understand that even those deep in witchcraft and Satanism and all that, they become what they call the brides of Christ and have talked about them having sex with demons. And demons were real rough with them on there, too. Amen. I know some of y'all think this is crazy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But it ain't. Now, let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
Amen. God good to hear you. From you. Amen. I'm on part five. Yeah. I'm on part five tonight about the title, The End Time Like Noah's Time, and when he was talking about marrying and giving in marriage, and I'm showing it to the people why he was dealing with an unholy union, And now starting off part five tonight, won't finish it tonight completely, but I'm going to call out these unholy marriages. And so the first one I'm dealing with, as I just read to them, about spirit spouses and those that practice shamanism is deep into that, where they deal with these spirits, and these spirits would be either as a husband or wife to them and involved with them sexually. And like I told people, they think that I'm being far-fetched by saying this, but people be having sex with demons, okay? Even those in the witchcraft and all that, they become bride of Satan, and they have, some of them have talked about having sex with demons, and the demons were rough with them now. I want y'all thinking that they were smooth and lovey-dovey, okay? They were rough with them, okay? Amen. Hallelujah.
Wow.
But this does exist, okay? This is glory to the Lord.
Like,
this is an unholy union. Unholy union. Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told him about, you remember Adam Nicole Smith? She married that older man, was a billionaire. She ended up dying. I think she overdosed. But I gave them this site that you could look on, and if I'm not mistaken, it's called Everything You Need to Know About Ghost Sex, the Cult. And she testified on that she had sex with demons. Now, I know what people were thinking. They probably thinking like, oh, there's something wrong with her mentally anyhow, and she just talking like that. But I'm telling you, when I used to see on TV, I knew, and I ain't trying to be funny, I said, Jesus is something real deep, and it ain't good. But see, people think you far-fetched when you tell them, say, hey, people be having sex with demons.
What?
Anna Nicole Smith. You know, she married this, she had to be about, 20, 30 something. That man was like, 70 or 80? He was some kind of rich man or something. She just died back here, a few years ago? And she was very wild spirit. And she married this older man and got, his means, but she ended up overdosing, I think she ended up overdosing. She kind of reminds you a lot. You know who I think she really patterned herself after was Marilyn Monroe, because you can see the way she dressed and act and all that.
So she kind of patterned herself.
You remember her now?
I
got on here. She testified by having sex with demons. Okay.
Well, that's a very ancient but that hidden clouded secret for many people in the so-called civilized world. The people in the civilized world live in a vacuum. So when you bring up stuff that the ancients culted from the beginning of the world, been doing this, what you call unholy union has been going on since the fall of man, but it's been kind of hidden in certain society, right?
Amen. Amen. And see, people, they think it's far-fetched when you mention this, okay? They think that it's something wrong with you.
Oh, yeah.
When you mention that. Because they think that, that's not possible. Now, you making that up. But, no.
Yeah.
And this is what happened in Noah's time, which we get to this scripture in a few minutes, okay? This is what happened. That's why he said, as in the days of Noah, okay? He's giving us a glimpse of what happened in Noah's time, okay? We in other parts we have like limited information, but actually, Jesus was giving you a glimpse of what really was happening, okay? And he letting you know that it's happening today. And see, people don't believe it, okay? And they think that, you know, you talking all crazy, like something wrong with you.
Why do people think that because things happened long ago, or what they call in ancient history, how and why do they think the devil has changed? It's because time has passed. They think the devil done changed his tactic? Or he's not the same that he was doing? Huh?
They do. They do. Let's put it this way. Some people, you know, who may be little familiar, let's say, with the word of God, yeah, they think that. And then you got some that's out there that don't know, you know, nothing about what the word of God has to even say on that. And hallelujah. And they like, I don't think it's so. I think you just, but it's really real, people. It's really real. Now, I'm going to give you another example, brother. Give you another example. Now, the title of this right here is, now, once again, I want to explain to the people that when I call out these marriages, I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm not trying to be distasteful. I'm not trying to be dirty and talk like that. You need to know what makes this unholy. You need to know that. See, our problem in among Christianity is that we're sweeping stuff under the rug or we're hiding, okay? And we're leaving people guessing and wondering, well, why is he says unholy? So we just throw them a little piece of meat out there, and they still wonder, and we won't go no further. Okay, so this is why we're describing this today. Now, the title of this one is it possible to have sex with a ghost? And the thing is said this British woman does. Okay, I'm gonna read to you what it said. Now, it said, and I guess her name is Amethyst Real. Amethyst Real, a 27-year-old, listen to this, spiritual guidance counselor in England, says, this is what she says, sex with ghosts is much better than sex with men. And she should know because she's made love with at least 20 ghouls. Okay, I know some of y'all, if somebody was standing behind you and you fell in your chair, they'll pick you up in a minute. This is no joke, people.
Yep.
Real said on British TV show, ITV this morning, last week, that she experienced her first truly spiritual encounter 12 years ago after she and her then fiance moved into a new home together when she felt a strange presence. People, that strange presence she felt, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. She said it started as an energy, then became physical. People, this is serious now. She told host Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby, there was pressure on my thighs and breath on my neck. I just always felt safe. I had sex with a ghost. You can feel it. It's difficult to explain. There was a weight and a weightlessness, a physical breath and stroking, and the energy as well. Did you hear that?
Did you hear that, huh?
Did you hear that? People, did you hear that?
They don't want to hear that. They don't want
to
believe that that's going on today.
That's going on. That's going on, people. It's no game. It's going on. Hallelujah. It is no game.
And you know, all the things that we read in the bygone days, what we call yesterday, or in the ancient history of Bible history, in that day, among the nations of the earth, they were engaging in all of this.
Amen. Amen.
Because
they're
religious. Huh?
Amen. I agree with you 100%, brother. I agree with you on that. Hallelujah.
And the Bible describes it, but people don't relate with it in the Old Testament, that the God of Abraham, Israel, were warned about these practices. And because their religion of all the nation, pagan, heathen, their religion was conceived by Satan and demons. And there were certain practices he taught them, the spirits taught them, in order to get favor, they had to engage in certain things. And one of them was these terrible, corrupt sexual entity in order to get power. Now, these practices, though it may be 1,000 years ago, the devil ain't changed. The devil haven't changed his tactic. I know people don't want to hear it. I said, devil is the same, just like Jesus is the same yesterday and tomorrow. The devil have not changed. He's still practicing the same old practice, right?
Amen. He ain't changed a lick, people. He ain't went to Mr. Ugly to Mr. Gorgeous. And none of that.
No.
He's still the same one. Amen. Now, I want to give you from Genesis chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Because, like I said, it's just part 5 tonight. We'll be continuing on part 6. We're going to call out some more of these things. But Genesis chapter 6, for those of you out there that I told a few minutes ago to turn to there, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 said, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, people, these were fallen angels, okay? And we know these fallen angels become demonic spirits. They went and took the women. Now, get this. Some of you said, well, no, there were no fallen angels. It said sons. Well, men was not called sons of God there in the Old Testament, okay? Wasn't called sons of God, okay? New Testament, we're called sons of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But see, in the Old Testament, wasn't called sons of God. When you go to Job chapter 1, it tell you about the angels. They said, and the sons of God presented themselves before God, and Satan came with them, okay? There were no human beings, okay? So these fallen angels took on flesh, came unto these women, and bore what we're known as what? Nephilim, big tall giant people? Because the Bible tells us in verse 4 that there were giants on the earth. Hallelujah.
So all these giants come from somewhere, and all these giants that the children of Israel, you know, encounter in the earth when they saw these giants coming. And you're saying that these fallen angels who left their state and they saw women, beautiful women on earth, and they wanted to have relationship, angels, with humans, which God had forbidden, which the Lord God had forbidden. That angels could not commingle with human beings and women. But they did it anyway. They were fallen, right?
They did it. Did it anyway. And they go to show you. See, people don't think, well, ain't nobody having no sex with demons. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And get this. When you read Genesis 2, the Bible said, and God took from the man Eve. So God set it up that humans were to have sexual relation with humans, not with angels or demon spirits, okay?
No.
He set up the holy union. He set up the holy marriage. He did not set up, and I pray to some of you, if some of you are doing this, okay, because Lord said the same tomorrow, we're going to talk about a little bit about the incubus and succubus. But if some of y'all are doing this, okay, I'm telling you, it's unholy union. It's not of God, okay? Repent and come out of it. Okay? Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is why God said, like in Noah's time, like in the days of Noah, you're getting a glimpse of what was happening in Noah's day. And that's why God said in Genesis 6 that the earth was filled with violence. The flesh had corrupted his way. Okay? The earth was filled with violence. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah.
It was, and so you saying because of some of this unholy order and holy unions between fallen angels and human beings producing giants, men of renowned giants in the earth, Nephilim.
Amen. Amen.
And they were born out of these unholy marriage angels and with humans. And out of their birth came these giants, great giants, who study evil, these giants who study evil. So, and yeah, and this, you're saying that this same thing, these unholy union is happening now.
It's happening now, especially sex with demon spirits. And so you guys, see,
wow.
I wanted to start with this first because this is the one that made people eye pop. That make them run away from. When you start talking like this, they say, okay, now we're going to have you locked up because you're talking so crazy that it's time for you to go to jail. Okay. Some stuff like this. Okay. I wanted to start off with this unholy union because this is happening. Okay. You got women, once again, that is in Satanism and witchcraft. They have moved up the ranks, calling themselves the bride of Satan. And they ain't calling themselves bride of Satan for nothing. They're not calling that for nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do they know, do they understand that the hierarchy of evil in Satan's kingdom, he has a hierarchy, a bureaucracy, a order, and they are high demons and high witches. And the higher you can go up in evil, it's like similar how you can go high up in Christ, mature in Christ. And so out of these unholy unions between men and fallen angels came unholy producing of evil and renowned giants, and they understand, they studied violence, they started magic. Their parents taught them magic and all that stuff. And so the violence was what? Increasing it? Violence was, it just got terrible there, right?
Amen. Perverted knowledge, okay? Perverted knowledge. They taught them perverted knowledge, okay, people? Hallelujah. They taught them to do some things that God didn't even show them to do because there wasn't no God, okay?
Yeah.
It's perverting or deviating from the right way. That's what the perverted knowledge, when you're shown stuff to deviate from the right way, okay? Just like on your shelves, Mylanta was taken off your shelf one time for a long time. Sudafed was taken out your shelf. Why? Because they found out that people was using it to make meth labs. Well, it was not made to be made a meth lab. But see, somebody got and provided some perverted knowledge that deviate from the right way. So now they had started learning how to make meth labs in dealing with Sudafed and Mylanta. So they had to snatch it off the shelf and take some of his strength away or whatever they took out of it before they even brought it back. And many people can testify and say, well, you know, that Sudafed ain't the same. It don't work the same like it used to. Yeah, because they had to take some stuff out of it. Okay?
And that's the devil's, that's how the devil was a devilish cunning mind teaching them perverted wisdom. Because everything that God planted in the earth was to be used for good. He said, very good. But the devil said, hey, I'm going to teach you how to do it the other way for evil, right?
Amen. Amen. So, and that's what he did. And see, that's what I said. People, this is serious. This is happening in this day of time. Jesus didn't say, like in the days of Noah, so shall it be. He wasn't just saying that to be saying it. This is happening today. People are actually having sex with demons. Okay, that is actually happening. And once again, if they really wanted to talk to you without being afraid, because some of them got so deep, they are so afraid, they're afraid to tell you about it, what have you. If they really talk to you, trust me, they're not telling you that these demons are such great gentlemen when they're having sex with them. I promise you they ain't going to tell you. If they were to really talk to you, they're not going to tell you that, okay? You'll never find Satan being a gentleman. You can counsel that. That ain't his nature. Okay? He put up a false front, but he can't hold it. See, he's so false and fake and evil, he can't even hold it. Yeah. Even when he's trying to trick you, he can't hold it. Okay? Only thing that's why the Lord said you should know a tree by its fruits, because it takes time for a fruit to grow on the tree. If you would just sit there and watch, he can't hold it for long. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been around somebody, they try to act nice to you, but after so long, they had to stop it because the real deal came out. They were trying to act nice to you because they were trying to get something from you or get you to do something. Yeah. And then when you didn't move when they want you to move, all of a sudden you saw the real spirit. Okay? You saw it come out. You look, hey, that was your agenda, huh? Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Thank God for the word of the Lord tonight, brother.
Yeah.
My hour just about almost up here. Amen.
Okay.
Thank all God for this word. Once again, part six, Lord say the same. I'll be back tomorrow. Once again, I told, explained to the people, I will be calling these marriages out that is unholy. I know that some of you won't like it. I love you in the Lord. But you got to know, and you need to understand why it's unholy. We're going to talk a little bit about, I'll give you the report on child marriages. You know, I just throw this report at y'all before I go. And I was looking at research on this. I didn't know. I knew around the world, but I look at the research concerning the United States. And they said from the year 2000 to 2015, 200,000 child marriages in the United States. I didn't even know that. I got to be honest with you.
I didn't know. I mean, I know. Now, I know a few things that were occurring that out of order. But you said 200 what?
200,000 from the year 2000 to 2015. Okay.
200,000.
Right. That's what I see. Child marriages. Yeah, because, you know, some of these states have, you know, I think Alaska, they say it's 14. Now, I don't know if they changed it since then. They gave you, you know, the age of 14. And, you know, these are kids. It's not even developed. See, the reason why I went to the child marriage, and I say this right quick, because when Jesus said, and given in marriage, I looked up the word marriage. Marriage and marrying had two different Greek words.
Mm-hmm.
And the word marriage means to wed off a daughter. Now, that was interesting, to wed off a daughter, okay? And in child marriages, who is the main one being a lot of time well off? A girl, okay?
Yeah.
They're wed to go with older men. But we're going to talk more about that, praise be to God, as this series goes on. And once again, Lord say the same, tomorrow, part six, the end time like Noah's time, and we are on this section of part dealing with the unholy unions, what these unholy marriages. You got to call it out, because remember, we're coming back with scripture to show you what God set up versus what is these type of marriages today, okay? We will call out same-sex marriage, okay? We're
going to
call out polygamous marriage. We're going to call out the two forms of polygamy. There's two forms of polygamy. There's a form that of polygamy I didn't even know was being practiced, but we're going to call those two out. So praise be to God. Thank God for all you listening. Let's end with prayer.
God.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for this day that you made and created. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit to be with us on this broadcast. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for covering us
thank
in your
you,
blood
Lord.
As we plead the blood of Jesus over
yes.
us
yes.
right now, spirit,
yes.
soul, and body, against
yes.
every attack
yes.
of the enemy. We bind
yes.
the devil.
Yes.
We combat you to cease in your maneuvers.
Yes.
We come against you in
yes.
Jesus' name. Lord God, send your word, the power of your word that is given today, this seed. Let your word go forth and touch the mind,
Lord.
Touch the body, touch those that are in bondage,
Lord.
And set them free
Lord.
By the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Let your word begin to break these bondages off of them, Lord God, and set them free in Jesus' name. Let your word open the eyes of the blind and unstop the deaf ears, Lord God. Close the hearts to be softened by the going forth of your word. I pray that you bless this broadcast.
Lord.
Bless the word that go forth and the broadcast to come at 7 o'clock tonight. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, because we dare not take this journey without you. And we are grateful to be able to petition you that your spirit will be with us as we take this journey.
Yes.
So we want to say many thanks and great thanks to you, Lord God. Thank you for the presence and the power of your spirit that you have given to those that accept you in Jesus' name. So, Lord God,
in
all
Jesus.
The glory and all the power
and
honor
all
goes
glory.
Unto you. In Jesus' name we pray.
In
thank
Jesus
you, Lord.
Name. All right.
Amen.
Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen.
Brother, thank God for you joining on the broadcast, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and all that's listening in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. See you at 7.
God bless.